This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:36 a.m. You are listening to The Morning Run. It's Tuesday, the 26th of July. And in half an hour, as we always do, we have the breakfast grill. Xiaoning, who is in the hot seat?
Well, before that, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you like it boiled for 3 minutes, 4 minutes, fried, poached, scrambled, or in an omelette?
Scrambled.
Scrambled.
Okay, because we're talking about eggs this morning, and the guest this morning is Mark Williams. He's the CEO and Secretary of the British Egg Industry Council, and I'm going to be asking him about the pain points that the egg industry is facing in the UK, and also whether there are many similarities between the British egg industry and even the Malaysian egg industry. So do tune in. It's going to be an excellent conversation.
Extraordinary.
Yes.
Such a timely one as well, given the price increases that we've been seeing in poultry and eggs here. All right, all about eggs after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. For now, though, we are turning our attention to the healthcare developments in the world. The World Health Organization has declared that monkeypox is a public health emergency of international concern. They made that declaration on Saturday. And this is the organization's loudest alarm bell that signifies an emerging outbreak.
Members of the expert committee were unable to reach a consensus on whether this constitutes an emergency, and it was WHO's chief, Dr. Tedros, that broke the deadlock. So far this year, more than 15,000 cases have been reported across 75 countries, with the number of infections rising by 77% from late June through early July. Now, Europe is currently the epicenter of the outbreak, with more than 80% of confirmed infections worldwide in 2022, while all of the 5 deaths reported this year came from the African continent.
So we know that the monkeypox virus isn't new, but how should nations handle this emerging outbreak? And is a public health emergency the same thing as a pandemic? For some answers on this, we speak to Dr. Koo Yong Kien, Scientific Officer at the Center for Outbreak Preparedness in Duke NUS Medical School. Good morning, Dr. Koo. Thanks very much for joining us today. So what were your reactions to the WHO's decision to declare monkeypox as a global health emergency? Were you surprised by this? And maybe walk us through what the significance of this decision is.
Okay. So basically, the declaration states that the event in this case, the monkeypox outbreak, is an extraordinary public health event, which constitutes a public health risk to other states through international spread and potentially requiring a coordinated international approach. What this means is member states will then have to report cases of monkeypox to WHO if they haven't started already. WHO will also move forward a set of recommendations to member states to reduce spread and hopefully to mobilize a response to the outbreak. The set of recommendations, it is non-binding, but basically the pressure or the spotlight the declaration gives on the disease will impact how countries manage or deal with it, you know, such as travel or trade restrictions, testing and detection, and treatment options and protocols. What it does is basically to set a global standard set of practice. And maybe for middle to high-income countries, it may not mean so much because they have already a robust health system. But for many other low to middle-income countries, the guidance and recommendations are quite important for them to learn how to manage the outbreak.
So, Dr. Koo, how different is this from the declaration of COVID, of the COVID-19 pandemic that was done in March 2020?
I think both sets of declarations and any global health emergency declaration serve the same purpose. But of course, it is tailored to the disease itself. So the recommendations might and probably are quite different. And the difference is actually because of the nature of disease, how it spreads, and what the affected population. Of course, as we learn more about the disease, recommendations can change as well. So it's important to be aware and to be quite adaptable. I think so far there's been a total of 6 global health emergency declarations, including COVID-19. So the monkeypox one would be the 7th. And as we know, the Global Health Declaration for Polio back in 2014 still remains today. So while the purpose of the declaration is the same, the measures and recommendations for each will be quite different.
So, which I think begs the question about whether there is a pros and cons of actually doing this declaration of a global health emergency, right? Is there a risk of it backfiring?
Yes, I think it's always hard to achieve this balance in global health because there are so many stakeholders involved. And sometimes, or many times, the interpretation can vary. I think the declaration is important because it really puts a spotlight on the public health risk of the outbreak and hopefully to get countries to take action. A set of global practice is also important so that everybody moves along the same path to correct this problem. But we also have to bear in mind that monkeypox is endemic in many countries. especially in the African region. So while we try to elevate the importance of taking action in countries with high caseloads, we cannot, or rather we should not neglect the countries who've been fighting the disease for many years before this. So therefore, there should be a conscious effort from everyone to share resources and expertise to realign priorities so there's equitable access to, you know, diagnostics, therapeutics and vaccines.
At this moment, do you think that it's there's a need for mass vaccination to address this outbreak? Is that something that should be considered by governments?
Well, the decision of mass vaccination will depend on many factors, one of which will be supply. I think currently only one company makes a monkeypox-specific vaccine. So likely there will be a supply issue, you know, if suddenly the whole world starts to place an order for it. So basically in a resource-scarce situation, we will need to channel it to the ones who need it most. At the moment, it will be the high-risk population, close contacts of infected individuals, and maybe healthcare workers in certain areas. But just to point out, who needs it the most does not mean that everybody else will not benefit from it. The vaccination strategy now is a targeted or ring-fenced vaccination. So it does stop the spread as well, so the general public will benefit from it. At the moment, I don't see a need for mass public vaccination. Monkeypox has a long incubation period, so there's actually a longer runway for public health officials to detect the initial contact tracing and to move forward with the isolation of patients or close contact. So if with a good detection system, I think we can actually stop the spread without having to mass vaccinate.
Okay, you've already brought up some points about what governments should do. Do you think borders need to close again?
At the moment, I don't think there will be a need for border restrictions or large-scale social restrictions. What we know about the disease so far, the primary driver of transmission will be close and prolonged contact through physical contact mostly, and also through some respiratory droplets or from the droplets from the rashes of the monkeypox patients. So knowing this, that how it transmits and how it spreads, I don't think we need to really put forth a border restriction.
Just a quick one, Doc. There's a lot of conversations now about the stigma arising around monkeypox, right? How do we address that stigma and discrimination against certain groups and individuals then?
It does look, there's a lot of stigma, unfortunately. I think partly from homophobic or racist sentiments, sometimes also just due to lack of information. I think this is where the set of recommendations by WHO play an important role. While we do need to acknowledge the fact around the disease and transmission, but we do have to be tactful about it so that we do not cause more harm to the affected population. I think politicians, community leaders, religious leaders, scientists, doctors, anybody with influence need to really bring forth the correct information to the public. I think by constantly engaging the ground, correcting misinformation and mistruths bit by bit, then we will see a difference. It's mostly hard work and laborious work, but actually quite important for us to continue this work.
Thank you so much, Dr. Koo. That was Dr. Koo Yung Kian, Scientific Officer at the Center for Outbreak Preparedness in the Duke NUS Medical School, talking to us about the WHO's decision to call monkeypox a public health emergency of international concern and what this means for government action moving forward.
It sounds like it was a hard decision to make because it was not unanimous, but Dr. also made a very interesting point. It's hard work to, you know, try to contain this pandemic, but it's even harder work to, I think, address the stigma and to get people being open to, you know,
declaring that they have it and actually going attention.
Seeking medical attention. So I think it's a challenging situation, although, as we know, it's not as infectious as the pandemic. The question is, will there be lessons learned from the COVID-19 pandemic that we can apply here?
Yeah, so whether countries will also put into place things like detecting who has monkeypox, tracing who the victim has been in contact with, those are very important things. But I think we should also emphasize that the version of monkeypox that is spreading around the globe, which is the Southwest African type, isn't particularly deadly. So even the CDC in the US says that more than 99% of patients can expect to survive. So that's an important thing to bear in mind. And I think also we can run through some of the symptoms: fever, headaches, muscle aches, and a lack of energy. So I think we shouldn't also stigmatize anyone who has it. And it shouldn't be, you know, because seen as an African disease, yep, for example.
I do remember that the WHO said that they're looking to rename monkeypox. I think that was sometime in June. They haven't really come up with what the official new name is, but that's something that I'll be watching to see what they decide to call it. Because as Dr. Koo mentioned, there are concerns that the stigmatization could affect, has a racist connotation, could have a homophobic connotation.
Yes.
So these are important to monitor.
So like in the early days of COVID-19, we called it the Wuhan virus, yeah, right? But nobody mentions it anymore, and it really shouldn't be just just associated with
China. But it sticks, though, unfortunately. You know, these things stick. So I wonder whether it is a function of the protocols that WHO have to put in place before they rename it.
Yeah.
All right. Something that we'll be keeping an eye on for sure. 8:46 in the morning. We are taking a quick break, but when we come back, we'll discuss developments in the semiconductor industry with Dato' Sri Wong Siew Hai, President of the Malaysia Semiconductor Industry Association. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.